Hoshana Rabbah, Laws and Customs, a Summary and Checklist. And we'll begin with the meaning of Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the last day of the Sukkot festival prior to Shmini Atzeres, and actually represents a day of judgment. You see, the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah states that the world is judged four times during the year. One of those four times is Sukkot, and on Sukkot we are judged on water, on rain. This is of great significance and importance to human life, as human life is dependent on water for both drinking and for growth of produce. And therefore, in addition to the great joy that Hoshana Rabbah has as being part of the days of Sukkot, it also has an aspect, an element of awe similar to the high holidays, being that on this day, in essence, we are also being judged. Accordingly, some are accustomed to greet each other on Hoshana Rabbah not just with a good yantif, but also mention a piska tava or a guten kvittel to wish each other a good final series of the high holidays. The Chabad custom, however, is not to exchange these type of greetings. Due to the fact that Hoshana Rabbah is a day of judgment, it states in the Paiskim, and the Alter Rebbe records it, then one should not do blood work on Hoshana Rabbah unless, of course, it is a case of sakana, as having blood work done on this day in a day of judgment is itself a danger. One should avoid blood tests, blood donations, and the like on this day. The night of Hoshana Rabbah. The Rishonim recorded on the night of Hoshana Rabbah there is an omen in the shadow of the moon regarding all that will occur to oneself or one's relatives during that year. As eerie as it sounds, some places can conclude that one is not to pay any attention to this matter in order not to worsen one's mazel, and it is therefore better to ignore it and not try to stare at the moon and figure out one's future. And practically so should be followed. One is to slightly increase in candles or electric lights on Hoshana Rabbah, just as is done on Yom Kippur. It is a custom of Jewry to remain awake throughout the entire night of Hoshana Rabbah, as recorded in the Magen Avraham, in the Rishonim, and in the Kisvei Arizal. We read the Tikkun Leil Hoshana Rabbah at night, and this tikkun consists of reading the entire Sefer Dvarim from beginning to end prior to Chatzais, which is then followed by the reading of the entire Sefer Tehillim after Chatzais, and the reading of certain passages from the Zohar. We do not read V'zayis HaBrocha as Shnayim Mikra, but rather regularly, and only do Shnayim Mikra on Erev Simchas Torah. We are particularly to recite the entire Tehillim after Chatzais with a gartel, for those who are married, and not to lengthen in its recital. Obviously, if one finished reading the Tehillim prior to Aleis HaShachar, he should stay up and learn other sections of Torah until Aleis HaShachar. Between the reading of each book of Tehillim, we recite the Hiratzin for Hoshana Rabbah and the Hiratzin for the rising of the moon, although not for Yantif, although some are accustomed to recite this Hiratzin as well. After the conclusion of Tehillim, it's customary for the Gabbai to distribute apples, which are then dipped in honey, and subsequently eaten while in the sukkah. If the shul doesn't have a sukkah, then you go home and eat it at your sukkah at home. As is the law throughout the year, prior to eating the apple dipped in honey, you need to wash hands, being that honey is one of the seven liquids that require washing, without a blessing. Those who are meticulous immerse in a mikveh before Aleis HaShachar, just as is done on Erev Yom Kippur with Kaparis. So records the Ramah. And so was the custom of the Rebbe Rashab and of Chassidim, even though many today are not careful in this. It is debated if intimacy between a couple is permitted on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, and there is no set arbitration on this matter. The day of Hoshana Rabbah. We avoid from engaging and performing mundane activities until after we leave shul after Shacharis, and due to this, some are accustomed not to even carry a wallet with them until after they leave shul. Some are accustomed to wear a kittel on Hoshana Rabbah, just as is done on Yom Kippur. This, however, is not the Chabad custom. We shake the lulav and esrog as usual in the morning, prior to davening while in the sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah, although later in davening prior to Hallel, we remove the top two rings that are around the lulav in order to increase in the shaking of the lulav during Hallel of Hoshana Rabbah. One is to shake the lulav on this day with great joy. It is proper to increase in distributing charity on Hoshana Rabbah. We will now discuss laws and details relating to the morning prayers, Shacharis and Musaf. So on Hoshana Rabbah, it's customary of many communities to increase in psalms, as is done on Yantif. However, the Chabad custom is not to change at all from the regular order of a weekday davening for Chol HaMoed, even on Hashana Rabbah. And the only changes that occur are during Hashanis, as we will explain. As already mentioned, prior to Challah, we remove the two upper rings from the Lulav. By Hashanis, all the Sifrei Torah are removed from the Aron HaKodesh and placed by the Bima. Preferably, they are each to be held by different people if they don't have a Lulav and will not be doing Hashanis. We then circle the Bima for a total of 7 times with the Dalad Minim, each time saying the appropriate paragraph as printed in the Siddur, in essence repeating the Hashanas of each of the 6 previous days of Sukkot. We do not circle the Bima holding the Aravas for Hashanas at all, and doing so is absolutely forbidden according to Kabbalah. At the end of the circling ceremony, we recite several piyutim and supplications relevant to water and rain, being that on this day it is being judged. And we then conclude it with the Aravah ceremony, which we will now elaborate on. So on the day of Hashana Rabbah, it is a mitzvah, an obligation based on custom, to take Aravah branches in commemoration of the hakafas that were performed in temple times using Aravahs, in which people would take Aravahs and circle the Mizbeach with the Aravah branch. These Aravahs are also referred to as Hashanas. Being that this is a mere custom, we do not recite a blessing upon taking the Aravahs, in contrast to Dalad Minim, which are an actual rabbinical obligation during the other days of Sukkot. The custom is for the shamash of the shul to sell the aravis, just as was the custom during temple times, that the workers of the temple were the ones who sold the aravis to the visitors. From the letter of the law, it suffices to take even a single arava branch for this minhag, although the custom is to take more. Some would take 2 branches of aravis, while others would take 17 branches of aravis. Practically, according to Kabbalah, one is to take 5 branches of aravis, and so is the widespread custom of all Jewry today, and so is the Chabad custom. The Chabad custom is to purchase a set of Hashanis aravis for each family member, including one's wife and children. If the child is an infant and cannot hit the aravis themselves, then the parent has to hit it on the floor on their behalf. It's disputed amongst the Poskim as to whether the Aravahs are to be bound together or to remain loose. And practically, the Chabad custom is to bind the Aravahs together using a lulav leaf. One can simply use the ring that was removed from the lulav in order to bind the bundle of 5 Aravahs. From the letter of a law of the law, the Aravah branch remains permitted and valid for the Hashanah ceremony, even if it only contains a single leaf throughout its entire branch. Nevertheless, it's degrading to use such an arava, and therefore lechatchila one should use beautiful hishanis that contain all their leaves, as zekeli ve'anvehu. The length of the hishana branch is to maintain the same length as an arava, for the lulav, which is 24 centimeters, 3 tfachim. Regarding all other matters, the kashrus status of the arava branch for hishanis follows the same laws as that of the aravas for the lulav. Technically, if there are no other Hashanas available, one may reuse the same bundle of Hashanas for another person, and technically may even remove the Aravis from his Lulav and use it for the Hashanas, although according to Kabbalah, it's absolutely forbidden to do so. We will now discuss the ceremony performed with the Aravis of Hashanas. There is a discussion amongst the Paiskin regarding whether one is to do the Hakafis of Hashanis, the 7 Hakafis of Hashanah Rabbah, with the Arava or without the Arava, and practically based on Kabbalah, the custom of world Jewry is to do so only using the Dalad Minim, and we do not join or hold on to the Aravas at all until we let go of the Dalad Minim. Some put down the Dalad Minim prior to the supplication set for the rain, after the 7 Hakafis are done, and then pick up the Hashanis, while others put it down only after the supplications are completed to be read. And so was the custom of the Arizal, and so is practically the Chabad custom today, to do the entire Hakafas and recital of Hashanas only with the Dalad Minim and put it down only at the end, and then pick up the Aravas of Hashanas. At the conclusion of the recital of the supplications, Kaddish Shalom is recited. We then lift up the bundle of Aravas and hit them on the floor. According to Halacha, it suffices to hit it on the floor or a chair 2 to 3 times. However, according to Kabbalah, we hit it specifically on the floor and specifically 5 times in order to sweeten the 5 gvuras. While some Pesachim hold it should be hit hard enough to remove the leaves, other Pesachim negate this, saying there's no need to remove any leaves. And on the contrary, the leaves are to remain intact on the Arava. Practically, the Chabad custom is to only hit it 5 times in the ground and not try to hit it any additional times to remove the leaves. After the hitting is complete, the Hi Ratzon printed in the Siddur is recited. One should do this ceremony with each of his family members, as we stated earlier, that we purchase a bundle of Ishanas for each member of the family. After the conclusion of the ceremony, it is considered a segula to save the Aravis until Erev Pesach. Others throw the Aravis on top of the Aron HaKodesh. Whatever the case, one should certainly not throw them on the floor and step on them, as this is considered bizui mitzvah, a belittlement to the mitzvah. From the letter of the law, it may be placed in a plastic bag and discarded in the garbage. An interesting custom that we find amongst the Chabad Rebbeim is to gently whip their sons with the Hishana branches. This included even their adult children. Children above 18 years of age received 3 light hits by their parents, while those below received 1 more whip than their age. Seemingly, this custom is considered a directive to the public. In the Igros Kodesh, the Rebbe Ariyatzi concludes that upon finishing with the hits, one blesses the children, that they should know no more pain throughout the year, and they should have both physical and spiritual joy. The Hishana Rabbah meal. It is customary to hold a festive meal on Hishana Rabbah after the conclusion of the morning prayers. Customarily, we dip the bread in honey, and as well, the custom is to eat kreplach during this meal. As on every Erev Yontif, one must limit the meal, so we have an appetite for the night meal of Shmini Atzeres, and therefore one must begin this meal prior to the start of the 10th hour of the day. In Eretz Yisrael, the custom is to recite Shnaya Mikra Ve'echa Targum of Azeis HaBracha on Hishana Rabbah, which is Erev Simchas Torah. And in Eretz Yisrael, the custom is to enter the sukkah for the last time with the approach of sunset in the afternoon of Hishana Rabbah and eat or drink something there to bid the sukkah goodbye. In the diaspora, this ceremony is only performed the next day on Shmini Atzeres. When we light candles for Shmini Atzeres, we recite the blessing of Shechiyanu after the blessing of Yom Tov. The capital of L'David Hashem Eiri is recited for the last time on Hishana Rabbah by Mincha. This concludes the laws and customs of Hishana Rabbah and Emirat Hashem. We will have a future lesson on the laws and customs of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah.
Thank you for listening to ShulchanAruchHarav.com. Our free services of making Torah knowledge available to the public depends on donors like you. Please help us continue our work through making even a small contribution at ShulchanAruchHarav.com under the Daily Halacha Dedication section or in the subscription page. Also, check out our online courses and many Sefarim available for purchase that will both enhance your Torah knowledge and help support our work.